flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the happy hour we roll. 5 o'clock sharp. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Be careful out there, especially around the La Jolla area. They had some fire issues out there earlier. According to the reports we've had on our air, that has all been put out, but there's still some lingering effects. So be careful and just be real careful in general in this particular season. The fires, it seems like one pops up every day. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Scraby has the Chronicles at 6 o'clock tonight following our program. So
I do.
You can
what's popping on the Chronicles
stick around for that. You want to give yourself a little plug here or another pat on your back?
Yes, I'm going to pat myself on the back.
That elbow get a little shorter. Yep. You ain't going back as far that time.
It is going to get a little tight now. It's getting a little tight. I think I'm going to go a little bit away from all the depressing Padres stuff that's going on. We will talk about Jurickson Profar, obviously.
Yeah.
But last night, I did a good old rant on people who think that I am a shill. So that's what
a
I did.
A shill?
Yes.
Yeah, we both called that yesterday.
So. You were called it more than I was.
Yes. Shill.
They said that Tony was he was compromised by the Padres.
All right.
Like he's a spy or something.
You guys think what you want out there. If you're just tuning in and you're wondering why Scraby's going to be talking about Jurickson Profar later, it's not because he's coming back to the Padres, unfortunately.
The opposite, actually.
Yeah. He signed a 3-year, $42 million contract today with the Atlanta Braves. He'll make $12 million this year, $15 million, and $15 million to play for Hotlanta. As A.J. Cassavell, our friend from MLB.com, said, Profar will be in left field on opening day at Petco Park. Unfortunately, he'll be playing that day for the Braves. Our discussion of the Profar topic took place in the 2 o'clock hour, if you'd like to hear all of it. But in general, we're as sad about it as probably most of you, coming in the wake of the Roki Sasaki decision last Friday. That's a couple of shots that Padre fans have had to take here. But upon hearing the number on the contract, seems to be fairly prudent, honestly. 3 years, $42 million would have been an awful lot to risk on a player, as much as we love him, that basically has had one good year. And so we'll see if the Braves get the bang for their buck. Padres have to look elsewhere, though, for a left fielder. We bring up Alex Verdugo because his name looks the best of all the available left fielders that are left out there. Doesn't mean that they're close or even talking to him or even thinking about him, for all we know. Some of the other news items on this Thursday, we are just a few days away from the conference championship games. And to that, we'll have a conference championship game fun facts coming up at the bottom of the hour. Along with the fun facts, Scraby, we, you and I especially, Tony wouldn't have minded if we just forgot about this, but I didn't forget. Did you see yesterday Patrick Mahomes saying that, oh, no, the refs are very fair when they call these games?
We talked about this.
I wasn't here when you talked about it.
Oh, wait, that's right. You held on to this.
We still need to get into this penalty thing because
looks like we're going to run out of show today.
No, we have enough time.
We'll have enough time at the bottom of the hour.
Because this needs to be exposed.
Exposing
the Chiefs. Remember this morning when I texted it saying what we had today and I said the Chiefs expose?
Yep.
That's exactly what this
You're
is.
Not
we
gonna
need
miss
to
it.
Stand up.
Scraby doesn't
want to
miss
the Chiefs.
This. But I did find it comical that Patrick Mahomes said, oh, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. Although I wouldn't expect him to say anything different, right?
Yeah,
they're cheating for us. That would have been a really interesting comment. So we'll get to the NFL championship games at the bottom of the hour.
I will give him this, though, Chris.
Yes.
He did realize that his flop out of bounds was a little much.
He said that the flop was a little much. You're absolutely right.
That was some flopping.
That wasn't his best move, and he knows it. Mark Andrews has spoken a few days after his critical drop in the loss to Buffalo. Look, I mean, he's heartbroken. I mean, I don't even heartbroken wasn't the right word. Devastated, I think, is what he said.
He said gutted.
Gutted completely, and, this guy's a three-time Pro Bowler. But, he doesn't want this to define him. He's going to have to bounce back.
This dude saved a woman's life earlier this year.
That's right, yeah.
He is, And
he's getting death threats.
And we bring up the everything he does for people with diabetes. He's a type 1 diabetic and out there playing great NFL football. But getting death threats right now, as I pointed out, in defense of Scraby and I's crazy fandom, we have never thought of doing something like that.
Correct. I've never gone that far.
Please give us a little credit. Just a very little. We would appreciate it. The All-Star Game starters have been named for the NBA. Just came down a moment or two ago. Tony, without looking, unless you saw it, take a wild stab who leads the West and who leads the East in vote getting in the NBA.
Ooh, yeah.
Wild stab.
Is it Steph in the West?
Steph in the West, no.
LeBron, then.
LeBron.
Okay. In the East. Who's in the East now?
Tyrese Maxey.
Same guy who it always is in the East.
I can't help
it. That's
why
I asked the question the way I did. No, not Jason Tatum. He's never the vote leader.
East. Who's in the East?
Joel Embiid?
I'll give you one word clue.
Give me one word clue.
Freak!
Oh.
Donovan
Mitchell. Antetokounmpo.
Yes. Antetokounmpo is the top vote getter in the East for the NBA All-Star Game. So that came in just a few moments ago. But we were going to get into all of that, and the NFL Award finals were announced too, so we'll let you in on that in the next segment. But Scraby came up with something during the break in talking with Tony. It seemed a whole lot more interesting than anything we were going to talk about in the sports world.
About? I don't remember.
Your mom?
Don't throw Alicia under the bus now.
I think she kind of has it as a badge of honor. She loves
okay.
it. She likes
that. All right, good.
We were talking. I think it came up because I said hot as fish grease when I was talking about
one of
coaches.
Did. And people commented that that's
real. It's a rap song.
Yeah, I never heard the song hot as fish grease. But,
okay.
It made me think about, my mom. San Diego State, that baseball team knew my mom very well for her fried chicken. And so my mom, will occasionally make big batches of it for guys. And one of the things that I've seen her do many a times, the fork that she's normally using to pull the chicken out may not be around. She has the superpower
that is reaching into boiling grease
yes and pulling chicken out
with her hands.
Come on. Yes.
She sticks her hands
into the grease.
I mean,
it's not like
she's
sticking her hand
but she's like touching the grease.
Yes, for sure.
Because
I think she has been popped by the grease so much that it's just desensitized.
Has anybody ever been hit by a flying droplet of grease?
it's
running out of the kitchen.
Yes,
painful.
It's painful.
I know that I've tried and immediately regretted it. Instantly. That fast.
But you your tried mom
can actually not really even thinking about let me try it. It was like no, for him. Go ahead and grab this piece of chicken right here, and it just burns.
Running around the house,
doing this the whole time.
Go ahead.
I don't know how you even first aid wise, how you address a burn like that.
It would seem like water, it would really be.
I don't know if cold water works.
I don't know. But
evidently, she doesn't need any.
She doesn't.
Kind of
superpower
after that.
No treatment afterwards.
Well, your mom is a lot of things. Wonderful lady, and you know, beautiful, and has done a great job with you kids. But tough is always a word that was associated with your mom.
Yes.
So
yes, it
this is more proof of that. Kendrick Lamar has company on the
SZA.
Super Bowl halftime stage.
That's how you I said ZA.
I was
going to
say, well, I'll give you my dorky pronunciation, S-Z-A.
Well, that's how you spell it, for sure.
Right, but it's not. It's SZA?
It's SZA.
All right. Well, SZA will be out there for you
I've never heard of SZA in my life.
I have. I've heard
really?
Of her. Although I must say a story to see that her was a her.
Right, right, right.
SZA,
right.
As I was, you know, I'd heard of the artist, but didn't know anything about it.
I have a couple of updates on the NFL.
Real
after
quick,
yours,
Kendrick Lamar, Tony.
Yes.
For a guy like me.
Yes.
Because he's one of your all-time favorites, right?
He is.
Like top of the list.
Top of the list.
All right. So tell me why should I watch Kendrick Lamar? Because I don't really think I know a single song.
You probably won't know any of his songs, but he is a tremendous, tremendous performer.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You've seen him perform. I don't know. Maybe you didn't. He performed a little bit in the L.A. Super Bowl.
Oh, wait.
Oh, when they all came out there?
It was probably the best of all of the performances that came out.
Unfortunately, the only one I remember is Snoop, because he dominates everything he's a part of.
He was before that one.
Yeah. All right.
But it was good.
All right. I'll try to hang. Usually, Super Bowl halftime, this is not Kendrick Lamar related. This is just in general. My tradition is to take the dog for like a 25-minute walk.
During the halftime.
Yeah, I've never really got into the Super Bowl halftime.
I'm all right.
Maybe I'll try to watch some this year under your recommendation, Tony.
If you're the kicker of a team, don't go back out on the field and watch the halftime show. Remember when Evan McPherson watched the Eminem halftime show and everybody crushed him for it, even though he's just a kicker?
Give me the notes, Greg.
Okay, the notes are that first one is that it looks like the Jaguars might have a coach.
Coach or GM?
Coach.
Coach. All right.
Liam Cohen.
He wants the job now.
Yeah.
He didn't want it before,
I know,
right?
I know. Adam Schefter's reporting the two sides discussing a deal that would make Liam Cohen the next head coach of the Jaguars.
Okay.
So he's the offensive coordinator.
He's a former Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not sure about that one. Next one is Robert Saleh. Where's he going?
Back to the Niners.
The reports are saying he's going to be a defensive coordinator.
Well, it looks like it's got to go to break here.
Yes,
so,
we do. But Robert Saleh reportedly back with the Niners, baby.
I'm sending death threats to the 49ers organization.
We'll talk about it. 49ers talk on the other side.
No,
guys.
We will 97. Not.
97.3, the fan, home of the 49ers and the Padres.
.519 on the clock this hour on 97.3. The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. And Robert Half, at Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Where are we going? I thought, where would we tease?
Chris, what do you want to do first?
NFL, I want to do the, I thought
awards.
We were going to do the NFL award.
That's
finals.
Fine. That's fine. Yes. Yes.
Unless you had something that you wanted to sneak in.
No, not at all.
Bottom of the hour, we'll check the conspiracy that's going on in the NFL to let the Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Yes. The obvious.
It is obvious. You know, the more he denies it, the more he takes himself out of like reality.
This is what Patriot fans felt like for so long.
Well, we'll even address that.
We're
going to cover this from all angles.
Let's go.
Before we do that, though, NFL award finalists, I think we should just throw this out first. Scrape? Why wait around? Coach of the Year finalist, Minnesota's Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. If he doesn't win,
then what?
It's rigged.
He's not going to win.
Who's the other coaches?
Dan Campbell's going to win.
Oh, yeah.
He shouldn't, though, because his team was already a 15 or 14-win team. Kevin O'Connell won 14 games when no one even thought they were going to be above 500.
Is my man from the Commanders the one on there?
He is.
Okay.
Dan Quinn?
Quinn.
That might be.
They also
one.
Threw in Denver's Sean Payton.
Nah, Sean don't need it.
And Kansas City's yearly Andy Reid.
Yeah, he won't.
Those are your
it.
Five finalists. Good luck to Kevin O'Connell. I think in this one, it is just an honor to be nominated. Now, who knows how they're going to do the vote? All right, we'll get to the other ones later. Comeback Player of the Year. Scraby's upset already on this one.
I have a question.
All right, Joe Burrow is one of the finalists. Viking quarterback Sam Darnold. And Chargers running back J.K. Dobbins.
He should win it.
Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is in the running. Scraby says if it's not J.K. Dobbins, it's rigged.
Oh, because the guy is torn his Achilles twice.
ACL twice.
And
did DeMar Hamlin almost die?
He starts at safety for the potential
AFC champs?
He definitely died on the field for a minute. He came back.
That's going to be hard to
beat him. That's as big of a comeback as you can be.
Didn't he win it last year? The comeback player of the year?
I don't think so.
Because that thing happened 2 years ago.
He wasn't active until like a certain point in the season, and he didn't play very much.
He didn't play a whole lot last year. This year, he became pretty much a full-time starter.
He was a full-time starter.
I'm not trying to take away anything.
Sounds like
from
you are.
Tomorrow.
Sure. Sounds like you're trying to take it away from a guy who almost died.
thanks, Tony. I think that J.K. Dobbins is the right choice. He's been through so many injuries, and he had a really good year last year.
Defensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know any of these guys except for Rams rush edge Jared Verse, who looked good.
Oh, that's right. Joe Flacco.
Is that the single digit?
Joe Flacco was the comeback player last year.
I think Verse is not.
Verse
number
is
nine.
Number eight.
Yeah.
He's the guy that got in the scrap with all the Eagles fans. Had a good game. Chop Robinson of the Dolphins.
Ooh.
Chop! I'll give you credit, Chop. You had 6 sacks, 20 pressures, 8 TFLs. I don't remember any of them.
Because you're too livid with your offense.
I'm just too mean to the whole team. I just don't remember any of it. But he's a finalist. Three other guys that I don't know a lot about. Two of them, though, are Eagles cornerbacks. Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell.
Oh, Cooper DeJean is really good.
Right. Really good.
Well, those are Rookie of the Year finalists.
They give him a lot of credit. He's a white guy playing safety, laying hat,
I think
covering.
He returns kicks, too.
Yes, he does it all.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. This is an impressive group. I mean, an impressive group when I don't think Brian Thomas of Jacksonville should finish even higher than fourth.
For the Offensive Player of the Year, Rookie.
Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think there's three guys that are better than him.
I got issues with this, so go ahead, Chris.
Well, the three guys that are better than him, and then you can give your issue. Malik Nabers.
Definitely better.
Brock Bowers.
Definitely better.
And the guy who has to win, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's the hard one to get past. But
he's the best rookie quarterback maybe of all time.
According to many people.
Yeah, he's going to win this. We know this. All but right. I do think
What's
Brian Thomas
beef?
Jr. has an argument as to why he should be the Rookie of the Year. He was the only rookie in top 5 receiving yards among the NFL, number 3 in the NFL to be exact. Only rookie to have 10-plus receiving touchdowns. And he did it on only 87 catches. That's an amazing
And unfortunately, I didn't see any of them.
He had a great year, but he's going to finish no better than fourth. That's how good it is. Sorry, Scram.
Malik Nabers was hurt.
Defensive Player of the Year. Weren't they teammates at LSU? Or was
Probably.
Nabers somewhere else? No,
Nabers
they were both
was at
teammates.
LSU, yeah.
They were teammates, yeah. Wow.
He's like, man, I finished behind Malik
wait a minute.
Again.
And Jaden Daniels threw to both guys at
did.
LSU. How did LSU not win at all?
Seriously.
Defensive Player of the Year overall, T.J. Watt. I think he's in there almost every year. Pat Surtain, Denver.
He's really good.
He's legit.
They say he's the best corner in the game. His dad used to play for the Dolphins.
Yes, he did.
Trey Hendrickson, Bengals. Led the NFL with 17.5 sacks.
Love that guy.
I don't mind him, but how do you give it to a guy who played for such a terrible defense? Overall, the Bengals couldn't stop anybody. I don't know. Myles Garrett, I have the same argument with him. He's Defensive Player of the Year, but Cleveland was awful.
At least their defense was good. Bengals' defense
Better,
was
right.
atrocious.
Yeah. Zach Bond from the Eagles is the last guy.
That's one
on
I've
this.
Never heard of before.
Okay. And then Offensive Player of the Year, which
Wait,
I think
is Hendrickson the one that wears no gloves? Like he's barehanded? Like he has tape around his fingers, I think.
He's a white dude.
He's weird.
Yeah, he's a problem.
He is a problem.
Oh, yeah, he had 17.5 sacks. Offensive Player of the Year, I think, is kind of a silly award because it seems like it's the same thing as MVP. I mean, you have,
he does not wear gloves. You're right.
Yeah, Barkley, you have Lamar Jackson. The only guy you don't have an offensive player of the year is Josh Allen. I don't see how he doesn't make it as a finalist.
How does Ja'Marr Chase beat Saquon
for this award?
Because Ja'Marr Chase has
not.
Chase won the receiving triple crown.
The most
crown.
Catches. The most, yeah, the triple crown, which never happens.
I don't think he's going
to
win it.
That'll be interesting. MVP, it's down to the three. I think most people know that. Josh Allen, Lamar, or Saquads.
Saquads, greatest nickname ever.
Yeah, and remember, I think the voting takes place before the playoffs begin. So whatever happened the other night in Buffalo or anywhere else does not factor in the decisions. It'll all be announced on February the 6th at the NFL Honors. Snoop Dogg?
It is right. Snoop Dogg.
How many Snoop Dogs are there?
Just one.
No, there isn't.
There's got to be more.
He will be hosting a rap event in New Orleans. He will be doing a boat launch in the UK.
He'll be doing the Olympics. He'll be doing everything.
Everywhere.
This dude is everywhere. Bill Belichick, I thought what he had to say about the Ravens was really spot on.
The loss.
He was like, they are probably the most talented team of football, but they beat themselves all the time.
Yeah.
And well, you look back at that game, the Buffalo didn't really do anything but let them make mistakes and took advantage of those mistakes.
That's the fair thing. I mean, three turnovers was only the beginning.
Right.
Because the drop passes and, you know, some of the ill-timed penalties.
Yeah.
It was tough. We'll see. All right. Coming up next, the push to make the Chiefs champs. Scraby and I will dissect it.
A whole segment.
Well, there's that many numbers that prove our point.
Oh, my I Lord. See. Yeah, we may need to even go into the Chronicles for some of that.
I'm happy to share it with you guys. Tony's not that concerned.
No, not
we
at
also
all.
Have some fun facts about the two conference championship games. Stick around. All right, 5:33 is the time. Chris, Tony, Scraby, Chronicles coming up at the top of the hour, 6 to 7 tonight. Stick around for that. If you just happen to tune in, be careful out there, especially around La Jolla. They had a fire over there earlier today and had some people evacuated. Still some leftover traffic and stuff from that situation. So take it easy out there. Relax. We'll get you home. Also, you'll want to know the bad news of the day. Jerkson Profar will not be a Padre. He will be a Brave. 3 years, $42 million. All right. Here's more bad news. Chiefs have already won their third straight Super Bowl. Why even play the games this weekend?
First team ever to do it.
NFL obviously wants this to happen.
Oh, that's right.
Continuing to assign officials to the Chiefs games that cheat and help them win.
Cleet Blakeman is going to be the official for the AFC title game.
An unassailable human being, Cleet Blakeman.
His name is Cleet, which is kind of funny to me. But I know Cleet. I can see him in my head right now.
You can see him going, personal foul, 15 yes. yards, roughing Mahomes.
Actually, you know, he's probably practicing in the mirror right now, so just so he gets it right.
Just so he gets it right. Here's the thing. People are still upset about the calls last week that went against the Texans. They feel like Mahomes gets the special treatment. And now people are going out of their way to try and actually prove it, Scraby. And
yes.
There are some damning numbers
yes. damning,
if you choose to look at it that way.
I and think I will it's let, confirmation.
I will let our chief correspondent when it comes to conspiracies, Matt Scraby, sort it out for us.
All right.
You got some music for this? This feels like there should be some a music
I,
bit.
Where's the conspiracy where's music?
Don't you have something from, what was that show with Suller and Mulder?
Oh, X-Files.
Sully and Mulder, X-Files, yeah.
I'm not sure if we have that. I don't know where it is, actually.
Okay.
But let's see what this sounds like. I don't know what it sounds like.
This is fun.
Sounds like Scooby Doo.
Yeah, it's
actually.
Scooby Doo.
I don't know what this is, but we'll go with it. Okay, so Tony, ESPN
yes.
put up a graphic,
uh-huh.
and they had in one column they had Chiefs, and in the other column they had opponents. So
this is ESPN.
ESPN.
Okay.
Since 2021, in the Chiefs' 11 playoff games.
Pretty good sample size.
Chiefs have been called for 36 penalties.
Okay.
Opponents have been called for 66 penalties. That is 30 more penalties.
Got to play more discipline
over 11 games. That's like two penalties a game almost.
Sounds three, like a team beating
three
themselves
penalties
to
a
me.
Game almost.
Okay.
I knew you were going to say that. Chiefs had 319 penalty yards among those 36 penalties. Their opponents were penalized 541 yards in the same period of time.
Okay.
The Chiefs have never had more penalties called than their opponent in the playoffs since 2021. Their opponents, 10 times. They tied one time, so that's why it's only 10
times.
So
in 10 of the 11 games, the opponents had more penalties
called against them
than
the Chiefs.
Okay.
Only one time since 2021 in the playoffs have the Chiefs had more penalty yards than their opponent.
So,
what time is that? Do you know?
Probably the only game they lost. No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know which one doesn't say. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
But here's some more.
There's more damning numbers than those.
Damning numbers.
Yeah. Yes, but we'll go to traffic. And I think these next numbers are actually the most
damning. These are
going
to bring you over to our side.
This is going
to
bring me
here. Wait till you hear these, Tony.
All right.
All right, Scrape, hit him with the haymakers now.
This is a haymaker. Tony?
Oh, let me cover up. Go ahead.
Since 2011, or 21.
Last four years. The Chiefs' opponents have had seven roughing the passer penalties called on them. The Chiefs have only had one.
I can't believe
in
they even
four
had
four postseasons.
I can't believe they only had one, or had one.
I mean, either.
Yeah.
There's four unnecessary roughness penalties that have been called on opponents. Kansas City, one.
Okay. So that's 11 of those.
Yes.
Those mayhem penalties.
Yes, that give them an extra first down, extend drives.
Only two on the Chiefs.
Here's the final one.
To drive the nail into the coffin.
Here it comes.
There were 11 defensive pass interference penalties or defensive holding penalties on their opponents. Only two called in the last four seasons on the Kansas City Chiefs.
So 9-2.
9-2. And if you want to go a little bit further, Warren Sharp broke this down at Sharp Analysis. But the Chiefs are the only team with they're at plus +9 net, meaning more penalties called on their opponent than the Chiefs.
Right.
Every other team
getting into analytics now.
Cincinnati Bengals -5, which the theory that Joe Burrow wouldn't get the same calls as Patrick Mahomes.
They play undisciplined football, which is why they're not in playoffs.
What you're saying is a farce.
It's not a farce.
Because you're telling me that the Chiefs are such a good,
well-coached team
that they don't
commit
penalties?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
I'm pretty sure I see them false start on every play.
They got Spagnoli. They got...
What is it? Spagnoli.
I'll have some Spagnoli marinara tonight when I get home, by the way.
Yeah, I can't wait for my Spagnoli.
They got Reed. They are well coached.
All right. There are some people that would say, though, Tony, and I'm going to try to make this fair. You can almost call pass interference or defensive holding on every play. And so the fact that there's been 11 on one side and two on the other is a tad eye-opening. I will say I hope if the Chiefs win, there are no controversial calls this weekend.
I got a text just now.
Because last Sunday was, or Saturday, rather, was tough to...
It was.
It was tough to see, man. I didn't, and you would agree that neither of those should have been penalties.
Which ones? What are we talking about?
The two Mahomes hits on Mahomes.
No, they shouldn't have been penalties.
Okay.
Yeah. I just got a text, and this is what... I'm sorry, Matt, you're a sheep. Yes, this guy was named Matt. You are barking up the wrong tree, Scraby. Their team is disciplined and surgical with their approach.
That's all it is.
They are not better at not committing penalties.
Yes,
they're just better at getting.
Yes, they are.
They're better at not getting the calls.
I would argue that they have faced more talented teams than themselves. But
that doesn't mean anything.
I'm saying they're more disciplined in every team they play.
Yeah, but they only have to play one team. Their opponents have to play two.
That's true.
I'm doing everything I can to help you here,
Scrape. That's true. No, you're right, Chris, because have you seen the deepfake video of Patrick Mahomes and the referee talking behind closed doors?
I did. You know the commercial where they...
I tell you what. I've never seen a referee approach... I lost my train of thought.
You never seen a referee approach
Patrick Mahomes the way I saw my man approach Josh Allen over there. Where he was like tapping him on. He walked into the sideline to have a conversation with him about that he didn't get called his way. Never seen that before.
Yeah, because Patrick Mahomes is crying about every penalty that he didn't
get called on. Listen, I agree with Chris on the fact that I didn't like the way the floppity flop looked. It looked diabolical a little bit. But
if we were to put those numbers up, Chris, and give no context on it, the person looking at these numbers,
they're cheating. That's what you would come to?
Yes, that would happen.
No.
I don't know how you can't see these numbers and not, like, at least think about it.
We're thinking about it.
Well, you guys are plenty thinking about
it. Yeah, we got everybody thinking about it.
Chiefs are cheaters.
All right.
Might be three times.
Here are some fun facts and figures for the two games this weekend. Stuff that's happened that I think could have the impact. Give me a little...
Sorry.
Thank you. We'll start with the... let's start with the Chiefs. Obviously, they're home to Buffalo. These teams have met in the playoffs six times before. The Chiefs have been keeping the Bills from the Super Bowl for a long time now, guys. In fact, the very first Super Bowl, the Chiefs went to that game by beating Buffalo in the AFL championship game. That score was 31-7 that day. I believe the Bills were called for 32 penalties, the Chiefs, 2.
All the way back.
That was 1966. Yeah, they've been cheating forever. Chiefs have won the last three playoff meetings all in the last 4 years. So that is obviously going to be fresh on the minds of Buffalo. Here's something to think about, Bills fans. Buffalo is 21-21 all-time in postseason play. But in their history, the Bills have won only four games on the road in the playoffs. Mm. And the last came in 1992 when, sadly, they beat the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game in Miami. So Buffalo has not won a road playoff game in 32 years. That means Josh Allen's never won a road playoff game. So something he'll be trying to accomplish here this weekend. And this is pretty... I mean, this is impressive whether he's cheating or not. Prior to Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs franchise was 9-18 in playoffs. Over 58 years, they won 9 games.
Wow.
Since Patrick Mahomes, 16-3. I mean,
tell me a quarterback that doesn't matter, right?
16-3. His only losses, 2 to Brady and 1 to Joe Burrow.
Just, Brady got him in an AFC and a Super Bowl.
He got him in the championship game. That was in overtime when the Patriots went right down the field, and then they changed the rule because Mahomes never got the ball.
That's right. Because that was also the same year that Josh Allen didn't get to touch the ball in OT, right?
That's right.
It's really
Then Brady beat him with the Tampa Bay Super Bowl, and then Burrow also in overtime.
That's right.
So two of his three losses were in overtime. Man, that's good, whether you like him or not. Go ahead, Scrape.
I was going to say a hater comment. I'm just going to keep it to
myself.
Keep
it to yourself. You don't need to be a hater. Right?
All right, NFC Championship game, Washington, Philadelphia. This is the 182nd time.
That's amazing.
In history that these two teams have played each other. Washington leads the series 89-86.
Oh, it was close.
And back in the day, 6 ties. Remember, you guys aren't even old enough to remember that they had
ties. I remember
ties.
They have ties.
In the NFL. Well... There, you know what I mean. They had them quite often back in the day.
Was there no overtime period?
There was no overtime, They play, and there was no two-point conversion.
I think the first time I ever...
Everything was, you know, it was kind of easy to get a tie.
I think the first time I ever remember watching a tie was, I think it was Pittsburgh-Atlanta. Michael Vick was the quarterback for the Falcons.
I do remember that 35-all.
I was like dying to see what was going to happen, and then it just walked off the field. I was like, what is this?
If you ever went to a football stadium and the game ended in a tie, you didn't know what to do when the game was over.
I mean, hey, Donovan McNabb didn't even know the games could end in a tie. He didn't know, he was playing in it.
He was in one. The only playoff meeting ever between these two happened in a 1990 wild card game, so that was a long, long time ago. Randall Cunningham was quarterback in the Eagles that day. Washington won the game 20-6. We mentioned this earlier in the week, but only 2 games have been won by a road team in this year's playoffs. Both Washington. They won at Tampa Bay. They won at Detroit. We've also mentioned this a few times, but it bears watching. No rookie has ever gone to the Super Bowl, started the Super Bowl, taken his team to the Super Bowl. The previous 5 that got to the championship game, not exactly a who's who.
Was Ben Roethlisberger on that list?
Here's the list. Sean King.
Oh, yeah.
Tampa Bay lost to the Rams, 1999. Big Ben, correct, 04, lost to the Patriots. Joe Flacco, 08, lost to the Steelers. Mark Sanchez, 09, lost to the Colts and your guy, Brock Purdy, a couple years ago.
Eagles, get out of here.
And all five lost. None got to the Super Bowl. Jaden Daniels is trying to become the first guy to do it.
I think he can.
A lot of people think he can. Number
they
six
have
seeds.
A hard time dealing with that run attack.
Saquon, yeah.
We will find out.
That offensive line is like the first offensive line I remember that like just bullies the front of whoever.
I mean, as good as Barkley is, I mean, I could have gained at least 10 yards on
like
a couple of those.
Like, he's not getting touched until like 5 yards in.
I saw a stat. He gained 1,400 yards this year before he
got
was touched.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, the number six seed, which Washington is, has only been to two Super Bowls ever. 2005 Steelers, who went on to beat Seattle in the Super Bowl, and the 2010 Packers, who went on to beat Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl.
Steelers. So Washington, was that the Sean Alexander Seahawks?
The Pittsburgh over the Sean Alexander Seahawks, okay. And Green Bay with Rodgers over Roethlisberger in 2010. Wow. So it's been 14 years since the number six seeds made the Super Bowl. Washington's trying to do that. On the Philadelphia side, 19-8 in home playoff games over the years. They've won four straight at home since losing in 2019 to the Seahawks. The Eagles are a number two seed. No number two seed has been in the Super Bowl since the Chiefs in 2019. Wow. So that's kind of weird. It's been 5 years since that's happened. And if you're thinking about a Philadelphia-Buffalo Super Bowl, that would be a matchup of two seed versus two seed. That's only happened once before in Super Bowl history. 2018, that was the year of the thrilling Patriots victory over the Rams. 13-3.
I remember that.
Anybody remember this game?
Boring.
Yes, it was.
There was a lot of punts.
That was really some.
Don't worry. They get used to each other and then it'll open up. And it just never opened up.
Two high scoring teams that couldn't score.
Yeah, there was one play in the game. I think Brady threw to Gronkowski, dove and caught it at the five, and they ran it in, and that was the whole game.
Yeah.
I got to ask. Yeah. Do you guys think that if the Commanders beat the Eagles, we're being set up for a bad Super Bowl?
Yes.
Why would we? You don't think Jaden Daniels can?
No, I take that back.
The
If he's going to get to that point, I think he's going to be.
About Jaden Daniels. I'm just talking about.
You don't think the Commanders are good enough to keep up with these teams?
Like,
I do. Now that being said, I do believe the Super Bowl is on the AFC side.
You think
the best two teams in this remain?
Okay,
I agree with that. I would say I could see,
but
the
I
AFC
do think.
Winning.
At this point, I think it was foolish to question if Jaden Daniels is able to get through this round. Like, he's more than showed he's capable of.
Don't you get nervous that the shoe's going to drop, though, and he's going to have the typical game that a rookie's supposed to have at this level?
It's certainly a possibility, for sure.
It would be a bad time to have it.
I would say the worst time to have it.
He did throw five touchdowns against the Eagles a few weeks ago. That was the game that Jalen Hurts got the concussion and knocked me out of the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, Commanders needed two turnovers
in
that
comeback.
Game later
right.
to win that game.
Eagles won the first meeting 26-18. Week 11. As a matter of fact, the Bills and Chiefs also played in Week 11 this year. The Bills won that.
Yeah.
And that's the only loss Mahomes has had in his last 22 games. Remember the Chiefs lost
at
the end.
Tough to beat him twice in the same season.
It's tough to beat him twice at all.
Well, it's easier when you have the refs in your pocket.
All right. Tomorrow we will have our predictions. I call special attention to Scraby's predictions. Shockingly, he is 8-2 so far on the NFL playoffs.
Other shoe will drop.
We'll see.
Guaranteed.
Tony will come after you on the picks tomorrow, Scraby. What else we got tomorrow? Countdown and...
We said something.
We did say something.
We talked about it in the break.
We'll figure it out. Hopefully,
our brands are so bad.
How much longer are we going to have to... Tony, give us a time frame. It's a bad question.
What you got?
How much longer till the Padres kind of have to do at least something to get us excited?
I mean, now is the answer, but to get everybody excited. But,
tonight would be good, huh?
But I won't be surprised if this is into the spring training before there's a move made. Yeah. That's just the way it seems to be shaping right now.
Spring training starts when?
The pitchers and catchers
end
report
the 12th.
Yeah, 12th.
Okay, that's 19 days away.
Yeah.
Wow. Chris gave the eek face, and I'm giving the eek face, too, even though we were in this position last year.
Yes, we were, and it all turned out quite well, I might add.
It's probably the most enjoyed ride we'd have for a whole season. Because remember, in 22, it came on. It was dicey. It started off great.
Yeah.
They were like 18 games above 500, and then it like...
They stumbled back to the finish line in 22.
In 24, they were like the best team in baseball right out of the All-Star break.
Yeah. Except for that first game. Now we got dumped by Cleveland, and then they never looked back after that.
I remember us pumping that game up like, man, Padres are going to come out and they're going to win, and they lose like 8-0.
7-0, something like that.
And then they go on like a 10-game winning streak.
Lanto Griffin. Scraby's going to tell us who that is.
He's a golfer.
Anything more?
He's from Mount Shasta.
He's not lying either.
In California. He looked that up earlier. He's atop the leaderboard, along with the Swede, Ludvig Åberg. Both are 6-under par through 2 days now. The Farmers Open. They had an hour and a half weather delay today.
Two players.
Åberg,
yeah.
Did you see that? How they had? They had like a little small O above the A.
He's Swedish? Is that what you said? Yeah.
Yes, he's Swedish.
You think that little O thing is what changes the Åberg into an Åberg?
Probably should have noticed that because I've been calling him Åberg, but there is a little O above it. There's two players. The wind was so bad at the Farmers that two players shot, or two big name players shot 80. That's how bad the wind was today. And Åberg shot 75 today, even though he was on fire yesterday. Poor Charlie Hoffman. He got the draw on the South Course on the wrong day.
Charlie was at even par until the last hole.
Trying to play the South Course.
Got
in the
bogey.
Winds.
Finished at +1, according to this. They had him at +2 on the TV. Charlie officially, according to this score sheet I'm looking at, +1.
I think that's the cut, right?
Charlie. Cut.
It's around.
Doesn't it usually say that?
Following
players may fail to make the cut at +1. Wait.
Oh, so at +1, which means that he didn't make the cut then, Charlie.
No, he did. He was +1 for the tournament.
All right,
Charlie.
I'm going to have to figure this out.
It sounds like we're according to this, Charlie made the cut. We'll sort it out. Scrape, you'll have the answer on the Chronicles. For Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, stick around. Scraby's next. We're back for a weekend preview tomorrow at 2 on 97.3 The Fan.